He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I tell you, we've talked about Him being God of creation and hanging the stars and planets in their place, but to think that He's personal enough to know my heart and care when tears are falling, we serve a great Father. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we've going to continue a series, Faith in Action. Faith in Action. This is one of the very popular passages of Scripture throughout the ages and centuries. And Hebrews chapter 11, it is the writer begins to embark on a journey here, basically encouraging his readers to keep on keeping on, to place their faith in the Lord, to be encouraged by those of old, those that have been commended because of their faith. And to look at these examples, it strengthens our heart. It moves us to action. It helps us understand the true nature of faith. As we look at people like Moses and Abraham and David and Sarah and Gideon, those that heard and those that believed and those that their action proceeded out of how the Lord was working in and through their hearts. I want you to stand, if you would stand with me, and let's read the text together. I wanted to read this to you this morning. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6, in honor of God's Word. By faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Let's pray together. Father, would you open our eyes to see and understand this morning? May the words of Scripture come alive in our hearts, God, moving us to trust you, to depend on you, to cry out to you, and devote our lives to you, Father. Help us to see clearly and understand this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're talking about this morning, what is faith? How does faith work? We made reference last week to several things about faith. Remember, we talked about the object of our faith and how we're to fix our gaze on Christ. Remember that in fixing our gaze on Christ, we do what the Scriptures teach. We forsake our sin and we forget those things that lay behind us. And we press on. Remember that we looked at fashioning our life according to God's will and purpose. Remember that faith is taking action. Faith without actions, James says, is dead. Remember, faith is finding a way to make a difference. It's believing to the point to where we're living, we're seeking, we're loving our neighbor, we're caring for others. And lastly, we talked about, and I finished really, really firm point, that faith finishes. Remember, faith is keeping the faith. It's fighting a good fight. It's pressing on. It's enduring. It's looking to Christ, our object, and seeing the one who endured the cross for our sake and keeping our eyes on him and continuing to fight and press on until the very end. We made these claims about faith, and then we talked about walking by faith is simply being a disciple of Christ, being a follower of Christ. We're continuing this morning looking at faith, and we're going to look at these scriptures, and we're going to see five things about faith. And faith in action, how faith works. Faith is certain of God's promises. Right, faith is confident of God's power. Faith perceives the divine design. We'll see this. And then fourthly, we're going to look at God gives faith gives God our very best as we look at Abel and his offering in relationship to Cain and his offering. And then lastly, we're going to look at how to please God, and that faith believes God and faith seeks God. Faith in God is trust in Him based on a true understanding of who He is as revealed in the Bible. Faith in God involves an intellectual assent to the facts concerning God and a life-changing reliance on those facts. Let me say that again. Faith in God concerns and involves an intellectual assent to the facts concerning God, but a life-changing reliance on those facts. So, you know, there's a lot of people that believe that rightly about a good diet and exercise, right? They believe the good facts that it'll lead to healthy living and make you feel better and keep you in shape, and a lot of, we could say a lot of good things about a diet and healthy living. But the fact of the matter is, we can believe those things about a healthy diet and right living and exercise, but it doesn't really change us, does it? I mean, we can believe the facts about good exercise and healthy diet, but that's not going to make us feel better. It's not going to make us live longer. It's the same thing with a little boy was asked about faith, and he describes it as this: believing what you know is not true. The little boy said that believing what you know isn't true. A lot of times I feel like that's the way people view faith. You just got to believe. It's blind. Well, there's an element, you know, when you think about it, we're fixing to talk about faith believes, and we look at the fact that perceives the divine design. But faith is built on understanding, but it might go a bit further. We didn't see God create the universe out of nothing, but we know there was an intelligent designer, and we believe that God's Word says He created that. Scientists and atheists like to hold up empirical evidence against faith, and they say, some of y'all just believe because you just talk about blind faith. We believe the evidence. Well, faith doesn't contradict evidence, and evidence and faith can work hand in hand. Matter of fact, faith is built on solid evidence. So we want to talk about these type things this morning. But as I said, faith that does not result in action is a dead faith. Here we go. Let's look at a parachute and a chair. We can think about a chair. We can believe a chair. We can see a chair. But faith is sitting down in that chair believing it will hold us up. A parachute. We believe that parachute will hold us. We've tested the parachute. But do we believe the parachute enough to put it on our back and jump out of a plane? All right? So faith is built on facts. There can be a firmness to our faith. And faith here, and described in the text, is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So first off, faith is certain of God's promises. Faith is certain of God's promises. It's the assurance of things hoped for. Sometimes you ask people questions about the future and about faith and about walking with the Lord and about His Word, and they'll say, well, I sure do hope. I sure do really hope that it's going to work out okay. I would argue that of faith is the next verse. It's assurance. It's a confidence. It's a the word there talks about being sure of it in the point of, like I said, we stake our lives on it. We commit to it. It's not enough for me to, in a minute we're going to argue and talk about, you know, a lot of people believe in a God or in a higher power. I was talking to you about the lady the other day that I was talking to about her about God, and she believed that her dead relatives could speak to God for her. So she would argue and say that there is a higher power, but she did not have a relationship with Him. Many people believe in God or gods, but the Bible says that even demons, James 2, says that they believe in God and they tremble. And so faith is not just saying, I believe in God. Faith is sitting in the chair. Faith is putting the parachute on. Faith involves a commitment, a lifestyle. Now, it starts here and it's grounded in assurance of things hoped for. Faith is certain of God's promises. But secondly, it says faith is confident of God's power. So not only do we see, we understand, we believe, and we act on it. We believe to the point to where we trust in Him, the object of our faith, Christ, the Lord God, faith 3-in-1 as revealed in Scripture. So it's certain of God's promises, is confident of God's power. And you see it there, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then it goes on to say, verse 2 says, for by it the people of old received their commendation. They were basically what some of the other versions says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by it the men of old gained approval. And this was a result of their faith in God. He goes on to say, for by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So by faith here we see that we perceive this and understand this divine design and the designer. We believe that God created the earth out of nothing, ex nihilo, out of nothing. In the early Greek literature and back in the times, they believed that God would take existing matter and create. But God created out of nothing. He took absolutely nothing. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. He created the birds of the air and the grass and He formed the waters, and He told them where to go, and He placed the planets and the moon and the stars in the sky. And out of nothing, He created everything. We believe in God. Genesis 1 and 2. The psalmist would talk about in Psalm 33:6. We know from Scripture that God brought the world into being through his word. Psalm 33:6, the psalmist helps us to see this. In Psalm 33:6 says this: by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. And he go on to say, I love what the psalmist says. I love what the writer of Genesis says. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Man. It goes on, the Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where He sits enthroned, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all and observes all their deeds. The Lord speaks and creates. Faith is trusting and believing to the point to where it's getting our worldview right. So we're going to go deeper and we're going to move into something else. But the beginning of faith is believing that God exists. And He spoke the worlds out of nothing. He spoke the worlds into existence. It's basically forming your view based on who God is, who God is helping you understand who He is by His Word. It's seeing clearly. It's standing on divine inspiration, the revelation of Scripture. It's believing who He says He is. In just a minute it says that we believe that Enoch had pleased God, and it was because he believed that God existed and He rewards those who seek Him. So one of the first things about faith is just really understanding and being certain of God's promises because of His character, because of what He says has come to pass, because of He proves true over and over and time again. It's being confident of God's power, knowing that He is able, He's sufficient, He can and will, as He speaks and moves, will bring about the things He says He will bring about. Being confident of His power, it's being understanding and perceiving the divine design. So it's getting it right. It's a Christian worldview based on Him speaking and believing and trusting and Him calling things into order and divinely designing them according to His purposes to fit His plan. Really building on that, the Scriptures teach in verse 4 of Hebrews 11 is that God gives faith gives God our very best. Now we begin to see some of these characters. First off, it says we, this personal pronoun, that we perceive the divine design. You can see there in verse 3, and then it goes on, he's going to talk about, start listing people like Abel and Enoch. But in verse 3 it says, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are visible. Fourthly, or the next one says that by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So I think about the fact that faith in action, as we talked about last week, it gives God our best. It commits our life to God. We begin to align our hearts with God's Word and His purposes. There's a sense of obedience and fellowship, trust, that moves us into action. Abel right here, we know that Cain and Abel, sons of Adam and Eve, right here in Genesis chapter 4, it says that God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but did not accept Cain's sacrifice. And now ask yourself, along with me, why did God accept one sacrifice and not another sacrifice? Because under a new covenant, we know God looks at the heart, but there's still something about our deeds and our actions and our sacrifice that says a lot about our heart. So maybe trying to understand why an almighty but yet very intimate, personal God who wants to have a relationship with His people, who created us for His purposes, why is it that He looks at Abel and says, man, what an act of worship. My son who loves me and offers a sacrifice to me, I accept it. But then He looks at His twin brother and says, I don't accept it. Because we're sitting in a place right here, we're bringing God our tithes, our offerings, we're bringing God our acts of worship, we're celebrating Him, we're obeying Him, we're thinking about Him. So let us think about the difference between Abel and Cain and their hearts in relationship to their God in offering Him a sacrifice. And let us relate that to our heart. And it's just a few verses. In Genesis chapter 4, we see this. It says, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, He had no regard. That's pretty simple, wasn't it? I mean, we later find some, maybe through the writer of the Hebrews and through later in Scripture, we find as maybe some reasons why. But at the very outset of this, in the very beginning of this, it just simply says that, you know, Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. He brought this to the Lord, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, He had no regard. What does our offering say about our relationship to God? I think it's our human mind goes to this, and I think it's fine to do this because of the writers and the commentators, but also the Scriptures. I believe that we see examples of people who really loved God and devoted their lives to Him and offered acts of worship. And then we see people who went through ritualistic routines, carried out their duties, their obligations, with no regard for the Lord. And you know what I'm talking about. Maybe this morning, in our teaching and our preaching and our service and our choir and our leading and our things we do for the Lord or in relationship to the Lord to because of what he's done. Sometimes we maybe lose our focus. We must realize that faith is a commitment to the Lord, in that it calls for a lifestyle of obedience, a lifestyle of faithfulness, a lifestyle of believing God. And as this point would lend itself, as Abel would remind us, to give him our best, to offer my heart, to offer my first fruits. You know, some people say, well, it don't matter what we wear in church. It don't matter what we wear in church. But it matters how we behave. It matters how we carry ourselves. It matters how we honor the Lord with our lifestyle. It matters the places we go. It matters the friends we hang out with. Faith looks a certain way, as we talked about last week, as we do the things we talked about and fix our gaze on Christ, and as we fashion our life according to His word and will and look for ways to make a difference, and as we can keep running. So first, in thinking about faith, we believe that God truly exists, but we know that's not enough. Secondly, we've talked about faith involves a commitment. But even faith that involves a commitment still may not be enough. I mean, I can't help but to think about Muslims. I can't help but to think about people in different denominations. They would place their faith in God and they would work endlessly by works for their God. But yet, according to the scriptures, they're still on the wide road leading to destruction. Now, why is that? Let's talk about it. As I said, faith in God, to be genuine, it must accept Him as has been revealed in Scripture. So a faith in a single God, that means that the Trinity is important. Though the Bible doesn't mention the word Trinity, that means that we believe that with Jesus, when He says, "You've seen Me, you've seen the Father." When Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." When He talks about, "I've come that you may have life." And when He says that by coming through to Me, you know the Father. We understand that the Scriptures speak about the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so to truly have faith, that means having faith in a triune God. Believing that God the Father sent God the Son to come and to live a perfect life, to offer Himself once and for all as a sacrifice sufficient to pay the price for your sins and my sins. And that great high priest, Hebrews 10, says, after making that sacrifice, sat down until His enemies are going to be under His feet as His footstool. So true faith believes in a God as revealed through the Scripture. But it also means that we align our lives, commit our lives to that faithful Father who loves us and gave His Son to die for us and His Spirit to sanctify us. We commit to that triune God. So when somebody says, "Oh, I have faith in God. I'm going to go to heaven and my road's going to lead me to heaven just like your road's going to lead you to heaven." The Bible says even the demons believe in God, but they tremble. So we talked about faith without action is dead. It's a dead faith. You say, "I've got faith," but there's no action. You have a dead faith. But then you have a faith that's not built on solid facts about who Jesus is in relation to His Father, in relation to His Spirit. Then we have a lack of understanding. We have a faith that's built on shifting sand that's going to fall in the great day of the coming of the Lord to bring His people back. We believe that Jesus was sufficient. We believe that Jesus, matter of fact, I want to take you over to Hebrews chapter 1. It tells us a little bit about this faith. Hebrews 1, long ago at many times and in many ways. This is Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 4. God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. So we know that Jesus, the Son, was with the Father in the creation. It says He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Now, Jesus was not created. Jesus and the Father are one, and Jesus is a reflection of the radiance of the Father. He's of His nature, the exact imprint of His nature. And it says, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Now, it says, after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. We could go on and on all throughout the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verses, Hebrews chapter 2, and looking at this, verse 8, verse 9, but we see Him for a little while who was made lower than the angels. It says, it goes on to say that, namely, Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. But it says, for it was fitting that He, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all have one origin. Verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And we could go on. Man, I tell you, I've got my whole Hebrews highlighted about Jesus, the crown of the Father, in that He was the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact imprint of His nature, in that He went, followed the Father's will to die in your place, to make you His brothers, to bring you as adopted sons into the family of faith. So faith is certain of God's promises, it's confident of God's power, it perceives the divine design, but it gives God our very best, a more excellent sacrifice. So even if a faith that motivates us to action is not enough, for faith in God to be genuine, we must accept Him as revealed in Scripture. We're, like I said, we'll further explain that in a second. We are not allowed to accept the attributes of God that we prefer and reject the ones we don't. Where He's loving, He's caring, He's compassionate, but He's also holy and just and a consuming fire. If we do not accept God as He is, then we are putting our faith in a false God of our own making. And like I said, much religion does exactly this. But any religion not based on the Bible is a designer religion with a designer God. As I said, for faith in God to be genuine, it must be based on a genuine God, on the genuine God. For example, the God of the Bible is, and I told you, made the case of who He is, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. We must believe the things the Scriptures teach. Before I move on, I just want to make sure it's not opposite faith, works hand in hand. Faith in God is not a blind leap without any evidence, or even worse, contrary to the evidence. Let me say that again. Faith in God is not a blind leap without any evidence, or even worse, contrary to the evidence. Faith is simply trust. All right, and I'm going to make this argument real quick. I think I've got time. You know, an atheist uses the scientific method to discover a medicine, and then takes that medicine. He is exercising faith. He trusts his data, and he trusts that the medicine will cure him, not poison him. All right? So some people may take the medicine with no thought whatsoever as to how it was developed or as to who prepared it. Others may take the medicine only after thoroughly investigating every aspect of the research. One person may take it with great confidence while another person takes it tentatively. In the final analysis, though, however, anyone who takes the medicine is exercising faith in the medicine, right? Ultimately, it's not the strength of the faith that determines if the medicine will work, but the efficacy and the efficiency of the medicine. So great faith in bad medicine will not cure a person. It don't matter how much faith you have, right? And some people, y'all, I'm telling you, people will take things and they will rationalize and justify, and they will die on some kind of phony thing that they've conjured up in their head. But as I said, faith in bad medicine is not going to get you very far. Ultimately, it's not the strength of the faith that determines if the medicine will work, but the efficacy of the medicine. It says, okay, so it's the object of faith, not the strength of the faith, that makes the difference. Uncertainty about a good medicine will not hinder its efficacy as long as it's taken as prescribed. All right, now here it is. This is fixed to kind of, I want you to think about this. So faith is not the opposite of doubt. Some people say, don't doubt, you just got to have faith. Someone defined doubt as faith seeking understanding. It's kind of like when Jesus healed that I think it was a son or a daughter of this one individual. It says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So doubt is okay. It's seeking to understand. But I want you to say whether it doesn't matter how strong. Jesus talks about the faith of a mustard seed will move mountains. But it's the object of our faith that's what's important. Faith is not the opposite of doubt. In fact, doubt can exist even in the heart of faith. A person can exercise faith, trust, and commitment while at the same time being unsure about the thing or person he has committed himself to. You know, a lot of times we as Christians, we have doubts. And some of us may remember we came and we walked the aisle and then we doubted and we walked the aisle again and then we doubted again and we came and we got rebaptized and we doubted again and we went and talked to the preacher. And y'all, it's okay. We struggle with doubt at times. Run back to Jesus. Run to the object of your faith. Trust in Him. Faith, doubt is faith seeking understanding. But as I want to continue to make the case, some people may simply trust God because it seems intuitive. They may have been raised in a Christian home and taught the Bible from their earliest remembrance. They have seen God work in the lives of other people and they simply trust Him. Others may have only come to faith after a thorough examination of the evidence. Think about Lee Strobel. He took years off of his life and he went to the greatest libraries and he got the greatest material and he gathered all the evidence and he researched. And ultimately he came to faith in Christ. And he devotes his life to the Lord as one of the best Christian apologists around. But it was only after gathering all of the evidence. I grew up in a Christian home. You grew up in a Christian home. Many of you did. And you saw your mom and dad exercise faith in Christ. You heard the preacher preach and you believed the Scriptures. And you built your life on the Scriptures. That's a good thing. Don't doubt that. But continue to look at the object of your faith. The Lord Jesus Christ. But you've seen the life of, you've seen and heard testimonies of God working. Whether the decision to trust the God of the Bible is intuitive or deliberative, it is the mark of genuine faith. But are you committing your life? Are you trusting? Are you believing? Is there evidence in your life? Or is your faith a dead faith? Many people have faith, as I said, in God. You're going to put your faith somewhere. Where have you placed your faith? Is it yourself? A God made up to fit your idea? Kind of like Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny? Someone who's good and popular that's going to give you everything you need when you need it? Someone that's going to just kind of exist to pull out as you need Him to give you everything and make you feel better? Everyone has some kind of faith. Everyone trusts something. It's impossible to live without trusting in something, even if it's only in the reliability of our five senses. But the object of our faith is what makes all the difference. The last point I want to tell you, number five, is certain of God's promises, confident of God's power, perceives the divine design, gives God our very best, a more excellent sacrifice, the Scripture says, that Abel gave. But fifthly, the Bible simply says that faith believes and seeks God. As I was coming to faith in Christ, I didn't have all the answers, but I remember reading and studying the book of Proverbs, praying for God to open my eyes and give me wisdom. I remember each day getting up early and going to God's Word and trying to understand who God was and what His purpose was in me, why I was here. I would ask Him to help me understand. I would ask Him to guide me. I would ask Him to help align my thought and my desires with His perfect will for my life. It was not anything that's nothing that you haven't also done. But I want to tell you, faith is believing in God and also believing that He will reward those who seek Him. So faith in God is not enough. But do you believe that seeking God pleases Him and that He will reward you? And you say, how is He going to reward you? Well, He rewarded me with forgiveness and salvation. He rewarded you with forgiveness and salvation. Seeking God is understanding that will lead to a transformation. It is an illumination of God opening your eyes by His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of Christ. It is an understanding that God begins to work in our heart to help us be sure of the things hoped for, confident in the things hoped for, certain of the things not seen. Faith is something that begins to take root in our heart as God opens our eyes to see that we begin to align our lives with the God that we know and love. We give Him our best. We serve Him in our church. We honor Him with our lips. We sing in the choir. We give Him the first fruit of our gifts that He blesses us with. We take care of our family. We seek to be a good husband. We seek to be a faithful, diligent wife and caring for her children. We seek to serve Him, honor Him. What does faith look like in your life? Do you believe that? It says Enoch pleased God. And we know that Enoch walked with God. We know that Enoch somehow pleased God enough. No, I'm just, we know that that faith, and it wasn't the same way with Abraham. The faith in God and seeking God and believing that He exists pleased God. Now, I don't know how God just took Enoch right on out. It says he was walking along with God and then he was gone. And that's Hebrew right there, by the way. He was and then he wasn't. Look at what the scripture says in verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And then what I've been trying to tell you, one of the main definitions of faith, and it says God's people walk by faith and not by sight. And it says that he was commended as having pleased God. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in pleasing God, you place your faith in Christ, in the triune God. You trust Him, you believe Him, you stake your life on it, and it says, and whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Man. You can't please God or walk with God without faith. Genuine faith believes that the God of the Scriptures exists and that He is the only real and true God. And He rewards those who seek Him. Rewarder must believe that God exists and will reward men's faith in Him. Forgiveness and righteousness is what He gives us because He promised to do so. Isaiah 40:10 talks about this. Genesis 15:1, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God cleanses us and makes us new as we believe and seek Him. God will reward your faith in Him. So faith is a posture. It's a deep trust that leads the way of life. It's taking God at His Word. It's letting it shape our thoughts and our beliefs and our actions. It's built in the object. It has an object who has all power, wisdom, and strength, the radiance of the invisible God, the founder of our salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is our object, Jesus, our great high priest, the wonderful atoning sacrifice, the founder of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12, if you'll look over just a page, it says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who were being sanctified. Man, that's our object. Faith, like Abel, shows us, leads to worship and offering God our lives. Faith perseveres in the middle of doubt and despair. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So I ask you this question. Do you have a deep, lively, persevering faith. I'm not talking about an experience. I'm talking about a steadfastness. I'm talking about an endurance. Can people see your faith? What's the old atheist that said, oh, the you got a judge, and if Christianity, if you're on trial, would there be enough faith against you? Would there be enough actions and visibility of your faith that you would be convicted? Do you just have words of mouth? Is there no object to your faith that calls for commitment and surrender and service? Will you submit your life to Jesus? Will you give Him your best as Abel gave? Romans 12:1, it's an act of worship. I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He goes on to say to Paul in writing to Romans, we can't do that by being conformed to this world is not faith. Give Him your best and believe that He will reward your forgiveness and reward you with salvation and forgiveness. He will keep you, protect you, and give you eternal life. He is good. He is faithful. Will you trust Him and follow Him? Jesus died for you. Will you surrender your life to Him? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for helping us understand. As oftentimes our prayer is, Lord, we believe, but help our unbelief. Father, we know that we need your continual presence, continually your protection. Help us, Father, to walk daily with you. Help us to persevere, believing that you exist and you reward those who seek you. Give us the desires we need. We thank you so much for Jesus and His dying in our place. We commit our lives to you. God, help that one right now struggling to believe. God, may they look to Jesus and find assurance, confidence, forgiveness, and salvation. We love you and we thank you for this time of response. Would you bless it for your name's sake? It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and let's worship together. Let's respond.